Welcome to the Uncommon Man Podcast. I'm Duggar.
And I'm Adam.
And, it's been a while again.
It has been a little while, and the last time you heard from either of us, it was me, and I just had kind of a rant thing going on because I wasn't in a happy mood with Activision. But let's not gloss over that again. You can go back and listen to that episode anytime you want.
Please do, especially if you're not familiar with our show. But we've got lots and lots of goodies today. We want to say that The Dark Knight was released yesterday, and we recorded a special commentary about The Dark Knight following our adventure.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to find that on YouTube. And
Around the time this episode is posted, if not before, if you don't feel like going on YouTube and searching for it, just look in the show notes, and we'll post the link for you there.
But yes, today, lots of goodies. Let's see, we've got...
The Return of a Classic?
Indeed we do. Sequels galore.
We've got a little bit of news from E3, but not very much.
And some, of course, gaming travesties waiting to happen.
And then we'll talk just a little bit more about other reflections on superhero movies, but...
And films in general.
But that is still to come, so if you would, please, join us after this break. Alright, welcome back, everyone. So shortly before E3, there were rumors floating around that we were going to see another entry in the fabled and famed Mega Man series, the classic series proper.
Of which we have possibly dabbled in.
Everywhere.
I have Mega Man 2 on my cell phone now.
Yes. It was officially announced at E3, finally, with a glorious trailer, which we will also link to in the show notes. Mega Man 9 will be released for WiiWare, PlayStation Network, and Xbox Live Arcade. I'm not exactly sure of the date on that at the moment.
But here's the kicker about it, if you don't already know. When Adam says the series proper... We're talking about a complete digression back to the original 8-bit glory.
Yeah. Not Mega Man X, not Mega Man Zero, not Mega Man Legends, not Mega Man
7,
Battle
8.
Network, Star Force, whatever. No, none of that. Just back to Mega Man proper, where it should be.
You know, so we're going back Mega Man, you know, 3-4 graphics.
And Capcom is really working to make this look like a lost Nintendo Entertainment System game. And it looks really, really good without the flicker and slowdown of regular NES games. And, you know, it still has that awesome 8-bit music.
Ah, good old MIDI files.
Ah, yes. So that's something we're definitely looking forward to. I think the price on that is going to be $10 when it releases. So that's a must download for me.
And I'll tell you what I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that it retains the level of difficulty that the old Mega Man games had, because mm-hmm. I don't know about any of you out there, but you can see a notable
decline.
Yes, decline. That's a good word. A decline in the level of difficulty from Mega Man to Mega Man 8. I think a blindfolded monkey can beat Mega Man 8 with the controller upside down.
It is entirely possible. But yes, there was kind of a drop in difficulty. But I have been assured by what I've read from various sources on the web that this is definitely going to be as hardcore as those old Mega Man games are. So you're in for a challenge with plenty of those floaty platforms and cheap enemies and so on and so forth.
Oh, Gutsman.
So you're in for a challenge. $10 is not a bad entry price for a little piece of gaming nostalgia.
And on the note of sequels,
yes,
it was recently announced that Marvel Ultimate Alliance, a sequel was announced, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 Fusion. From my thoughts on Marvel Ultimate Alliance, you can cycle back through old shows. We discussed it very shortly after it came out, which was, if you go back and look at the dates, quite some time ago, back in 06. Because I also went back and I had reviewed the DC version of, or DC's entry into the...
What is it? Justice League Heroes? Was that it?
No.
Justice League... Crud.
See? Don't even remember.
It's not that memorable.
It didn't, exactly. It just really didn't leave an impression. Superman, Spam, Pete, Vision. But from what we've been reading, Marvel Ultimate Alliance's shtick is that heroes will now be able to fuse their powers into greater hybrid abilities throughout the course of the game. And if 1UP.com had a little bit more information than we do, if you care to visit their review, but they were mentioning that there were rumored to be, so far, 20 characters, and that it may be possibly following the Civil War storyline that has been going on in the Marvel comics for quite some time, with players picking which side of the issue. And if you're not familiar with the Marvel Civil War, you can look that up.
Wikipedia. Hooray!
Yes!
It's given me more comic knowledge than I probably should ever have learned.
What? There's nothing wrong with that.
I suppose not.
I had to earn that knowledge.
But what I really want to be able to do in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 is have two Hulks on the same team. And, like, if Hulk smash, then double Hulk, double smash, right?
But there can be only one.
I suppose. Maybe Iron Man and War Machine? They're close enough.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyhow.
But it's also going to, if it does follow the Civil War storyline and you have a break in faction, it's going to affect what kind of combos you can have because certain characters won't be working together.
Right.
Notably, Captain America and Iron Man are the leaders of the opposing sides, mm-hmm. With various heroes and villains taking different stances on it. But yes, very much looking forward to that, especially if it's anywhere near as successful as Ultimate Alliance, because Ultimate Alliance sold itself on gameplay, because as 1UP.com so aptly put it, it was a throwaway plot. And I know that you don't, I don't think you ever really played it, did you?
No, I did not. And I just don't think you go looking for story in a game like that. It's a dungeon crawler.
Well, so yeah, but I would like a little bit more story. I mean, because X-Men Legends 2 was a fantastic game, and it did have a story to it,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't think was quite so throwaway. But Ultimate Alliance was just over very quickly, and really most of its gameplay did in fact come out of wandering around levels trying to find all of the power-ups and getting all of the extra characters and such.
And beyond that, you still regard Ultimate Alliance as a better game than X-Men Legends 2?
I do. And it's not because of story. Legends, or rather, Ultimate Alliance, just they improved on the mechanics of gameplay. But still, X-Men Legends 2 is still a fantastic game.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong for a moment. I can't ever play X-Men Legends again. looks like it'll be fantastic. No other serious changes to the formula. If it's not broke, don't fix it, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
is a good philosophy here.
But then on the other side of the comic book coin, he's holding his head in his hands, everyone. We have another crossover game, which, okay, crossover games, usually good, yes? Marvel superheroes, great. Marvel versus Street Fighter, excellent.
Yes.
Or X-Men versus Street Fighter, Marvel versus Capcom 1 and 2, excellent.
Indeed. Uh-huh. I agree completely.
Okay, so...
You would think you couldn't go wrong throwing superheroes into a mix.
Exactly.
And here's my thought, though.
Mm-hmm.
Notice how all of the games you referenced were Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
See...
That's true.
Marvel, and I'll get to some of this later, Marvel seems to be playing up the media side of things much better than DC.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we just mentioned that DC had a game that was entirely forgettable,
mm-hmm.
whereas Ultimate Alliance still reverberates in the gaming community.
Mm-hmm.
DC has made the decision to go in with, wait for it, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, yeah.
To make a Mortal Kombat DC Heroes game. The trailers are disheartening. Catwoman looks like a word that I can't comfortably say.
Was I the only one who ever wondered whether Sub-Zero could beat Batman in a street fight?
I think so.
Probably.
And here's what I don't understand. Well, no, two things that I don't understand about the proposed game mechanics. One, in the trailers, Superman freezes Sub-Zero.
Uh-huh.
Please tell me how you can freeze Sub-Zero.
He's made of ice. If you're another Sub-Zero, you can freeze Sub-Zero.
But see, that's weird.
And Superman's like Superman, so he can...
And second of all, what is their excuse for why you can hurt Superman?
Yeah.
Are we on a red sun? Does everyone's suit have kryptonite interwoven into it?
Yeah. Yeah, a couple of my buddies at work have been joking about what if they brought the Test Your Might minigame back for this Mortal Kombat game, Superman would just look at the blocks and laugh. But yeah, that is a question that's going to need some answering. I mean, and even more than that, think of Darth Vader and Yoda in Soul Calibur. They're bringing their lightsabers to the fight with them. Shouldn't that just slice through anything?
You would think.
Like, you know.
You would think.
Zappy zap.
So, this game, it seems like it will be nothing more than travesty. It really does. And it makes me sad.
I mean, it has a couple of interesting things going for it. A couple of the moves that I've seen from Flash are really interesting.
Yeah, but see, it's going to bother me on a personal level if the heroes have fatalities.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the trailer that we saw closes out with Scorpion performing a fatality on the Flash. That just bothers me because you're not supposed to die. Heroes don't die. Ben Parker is the only one who stays dead.
Yeah, not even Bucky anymore.
Bucky's Captain America now.
Yeah, right, I forget. Yeah.
With a gun.
But anyway, let's see. Apart from that, Rock Band 2 was officially announced at E3. And it's going to bring more of the awesome song list. I think it's going to have about 80 songs on the disc when it ships, which is nice.
There is no segue between Superheroes Rock Band, just so you know.
There's really not. Superheroes Rock.
So
that's my segue.
Oh, okay.
Superheroes Rock.
I just don't want you all to get lost in the transition. There really wasn't one.
Hulk throws rocks.
That works for me.
Rocks are in Rock Band. Anyway.
Rock stars.
Anyway, so Rock Band 2 was officially announced. 80 songs on disc when it ships. Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Which is a nice little opening package number of songs.
Which is a nice little opening package. I mean, especially considering they've said that they're going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 songs available for download the first week that it's out on Xbox 360 for free. And it's going to come out on the 360 a couple months before it comes out for every other system, which they must have gotten some kind of really interesting deal with Microsoft and all of that. But we've got basically the same peripherals this time around. The bass pedal on the drums has been improved a little bit, been made a little more sturdy so as not to snap so much. And the Stratocaster guitar is supposed to feel a little bit different this time, but it mostly plays the same from what I've heard. Looks like it has a nice little wood grain finish on it now, which I like. I think it's classic. But anyhow, other than that, it looks like pretty much the same game so far, which is an interesting thing when you consider their opponents here, Guitar Hero World Tour, which you could argue is catering to a different audience, and I probably would. I would try to make that case. But you can't deny that there are a lot of similarities between the two, and that they're probably going to have a lot of overlapping market share. Yeah. And that's all I really have to say about that. Guitar Hero, there's not a whole lot else been announced for that so far.
Well, I mean, when it comes down to the Guitar Hero franchise, at this point, even with Rock Band, all of that, it's been established as a gaming phenomena. So really, the only thing they can do now is...
Phenomenon.
Rock Band was born out of the concept of Guitar Hero, so it really is a phenomena at this point, I think. But you just wonder, how many times can we reinvent the wheel here?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really what it's coming down to. It's just giving you more songs to work with and continuing to improve, quote-unquote. Really, I think that they need to... Well, they're not going to, obviously, but with Rock Band 2, the equipment's good enough. Now let's just work on expanding the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Because they keep offering downloadable content, but then they just release a new game, which has even more stuff. What they need to do is establish one game and then just start offering continually...
downloadable content.
Yes.
or software updates.
Exactly. You know, let's work on building a song base rather than continuing to re-release different game packages.
Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely the way to go. I think it's... I think it makes you look much less like you're trying to swindle the gamers out of their precious hard-earned money.
But they are.
And that's their job, and that's what they do. I don't know. And then finally, E3 was just... Yeah, that's the word this year. Especially over at Nintendo's booth. I mean, what do we have? We have a new Animal Crossing, which pretty much everybody guessed about anyway. But nothing on a new Kid Icarus, nothing on a new Mario game or Zelda game, except that we are reassured that those teams are at work. We have Miyamoto saying we're making a new Pikmin game, but that's about it. I mean,
nothing anyone really wants to see.
A Grand Theft Auto game for DS. I kid you not.
Okay, I'm sure there are some Grand Theft Auto fans listening to us, so please take this as my opinion, but do we really need to corrupt another console?
Well, it's not that. It's just that I don't think they're pitching to the demographic that they should be. I mean, I always pictured Grand Theft Auto fans more of owning PSP.
Which, you know,
If you've got to pick a portable.
Well, that and the Grand Theft Auto engine would run better on a PSP.
Yeah.
I don't see it running very well.
It's going to be a whole new engine, rewritten from the ground up, but it's still going to be in 3D.
I mean, I can see how they do it, but it's going to come out looking more like a Nintendo 64, I think.
Yeah, or PS1 or something like that. But yeah. So, I mean, Nintendo, they've done this thing, and I praised them a while back when they first came out with the idea for the Wii, and the idea of pitching to people who weren't gamers, in a sense, to people who weren't their core, as they tend to call them. It's not right. This is carried over into their E3 now. So we've got a Wii Sports sequel with like a beach kind of setting, a couple of extra mini games. We've got another Wii peripheral to stick onto the Wii remote. And let's see, what else? I don't know. That's really it. It was a very bare bones E3 for Nintendo. Just nothing I was excited about at all. Anything for you? Ben?
No, I mean, that's pretty much my observation. The biggest thing I wanted was like the Kid Icarus. I would like to see something with Pit.
You would
think that after they brought him back for Brawl that they were going to do something with him, because I mean they were introducing a character to a generation that didn't know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Lukewarm Nintendo performance at best.
I feel sorry for Kid Icarus and the franchise now. Although I had seen some concept art, quote unquote, that was leaked online a while back that showed Pit as kind of a the new Pit as kind of a troubled looking Prince of Persia Warrior Within type emo kid, and I really don't want him going in that direction. No matter how good they can make the story, I don't know that I want to see a depressive just, I don't know that I want to see that out of that character.
Indeed.
And then, let's see, I glossed over this, but something you were doing over here reminded me of it. I think the single biggest announcement out of E3 was that Final Fantasy XIII is no longer going to be a Sony exclusive.
That was what I was forgetting. Yes. Big thing. Final Fantasy XIII not being Sony exclusive. For those of you not familiar, this is a big, big deal. Final Fantasy has been Sony exclusive, by and large, since Final Fantasy VII. It was the first PlayStation title. 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 2, 12.
Tactics.
Yes, and Tactics were all on PlayStation consoles. And then they had Crisis Core come out for the PSP.
Crisis Core, a new Tactics game?
Yes, and then Dirge of Cerberus.
On the PS2?
Yes, was on the PS2, and then Tactics was re-released, of course, on the PSP. The only Final Fantasy titles that were not on Sony consoles were the Crystal Chronicles, the Crystal Chronicle title, and all of its planned sequels and such.
Crystal Chronicles was on GameCube.
But, by and large, Final Fantasy has been a Sony thing. So when the 13 and all of its in fact Final Fantasy 13 is actually going to be three different games, we were thinking they were going to be Sony exclusive, and for people like me that was kind of a downer because I really don't feel like getting a PS3. I just don't. Sony just can't sell me on a PS3. So I was worried that I wasn't going to get to experience it without dropping $600 on a Sony console. Mm-hmm. So this actually, you know, makes me feel a lot better because I'm thinking maybe I'll actually get a shot at playing it now. Trailers have gone up for Xbox 360 footage of Final Fantasy 13. So this is just a big thing. And I'm sure Sony is starting to feel the sting because you can't look at this really as anything other than people pulling away from the Sony brand.
Well, yeah, I mean, Sony is starting to feel like I imagine Nintendo must have felt in the last console cycle when they lost what exclusives they did have that weren't first-party games. I think we actually covered a lot of what really needed to be covered in this E3 wrap-up. I mean, It was sad this year.
Well, I mean, I don't think the Final Fantasy 13 news is particularly sad. I think that it's a kick in the mouth to Sony. But then again, if you want our thoughts on Sony and their marketing strategies and their consoles, please go back and listen the long rants. Alright, we come into our final segment here with a discussion on filmography, and more particularly comic books in the movies. This is a good news, bad news kind of segment. We're going to start off with the good news. I don't know how many of you out there have seen The Incredible Hulk or Iron Man. Both were fantastic movies, got extremely positive reviews. Marvel has really done a lot of marketing. We mentioned it earlier in the segment about how they've seemed to tackle the media more productively and more effectively than DC has. Marvel formed its own studio, Marvel Studios, to mm-hmm. head off their films. Marvel Studios handled both Iron Man and The Incredible Hulk. They have taken some very, very practical views on their heroes, and what they have achieved is something that's believably realistic while still being, you know, just total farce.
And I hear that they're trying to craft some kind of continuity between their movie worlds.
Yes, they are. This isn't really going to be a heavy spoiler if you haven't seen them. There is a scene at the end of Iron Man following the credits, and there is a scene at the end of The Incredible Hulk before the credits roll that tie both movies together. Marvel is, in fact, gearing up for an Avengers movie, but rather than just throw the movie out there with heroes, they are attempting to establish actors in roles and maintain those roles for a sense of continuity in their movies, which I think is such a fantastic idea. DC is working on a Justice League movie, and they're not using Bale or Routh. They're not working with established characters. And they are going with the John Stewart Green Lantern, played by a rapper. I cannot remember which one at the moment. It just doesn't look like it's going to be good.
Well, I mean, I guess I could see where they might have some issues putting those worlds together. I haven't seen Superman Returns, quite honestly. But from what I have seen in The Dark Knight... The Dark Knight and Batman Begins before it, they're both very, very depressing, dark worlds, and I don't know that they really go with the world that Superman inhabits in his Metropolis.
Well, see, and that's
where... So I don't know that they're believably
meshable. Well, no, see, that was always the point of Superman and Batman, is that they were so diametrically opposite each other. And that was why the nature of their friendship was so unique, because they had their own method of working and their own method of looking at the world, and together they were able to deal with more than they could individually.
From what I've seen of Bale's Batman and Christopher Nolan's Batman, for that matter, it's just he doesn't strike me as a character who would want somebody else to work with. I think he considers himself very much a solitary figure right now.
And he does, though there is a proposed crossover between the two. It's just talk at this point. So you have Iron Man, incredibly successful movie, Incredible Hulk, successful movie, Dark Knight, which is seems to be DC's crowning achievement right now, is Batman.
It broke the new midnight record, beating, I think, Star Wars 3. And it has beaten an opening day record, which was set by Spider-Man 3, I think. And I'm sure it's
another Marvel film.
I'm sure it's just going to kick more ass as time goes on.
We got that.
And now for the not so good, right?
Not so good. Oh, the not so good. So you remember when we were younger and we used to watch Dragon Ball Z
I remember being younger.
On Cartoon Network.
Uh-huh.
Well, apparently it's going to be live action.
Why?
Well, I can't actually answer that. And beyond being live action, they're using American actors.
Okay.
And it's not going to resemble the storyline of Dragon Ball Z in any way, shape, or form. You'll have characters that were the same. That's about it.
If the movie is about 24 hours long, maybe?
Well, the storyline doesn't even come close. From what I've read, Goku is in high school. Okay, Goku never, like, saw another human until he was, like, 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, We hunted around for a trailer, couldn't find one, saw promotional material, saw the actors.
That's the general feeling in the room at the moment.
On the front of other bad movies, Ant-Man,
my favorite of all superheroes, quote-unquote, in the air.
You can see that.
Uh-huh.
Ant-Man has been described by the director as...
Anti?
Yeah, something like that. Apparently it's being written in the vein of the Fantastic Four movies with a comedic appeal to it. It's not going to be a comedy per se, but it's going to be more comedic than other Marvel movies have been, and I just
if Ant-Man gets emo halfway through the movie about how his experiments have changed him.
Well, from what I understand about the movie, it's going to start off with Hank Pym in the 60s,
uh-huh.
and fast forward to his predecessor, or not his predecessor, his successor in the 80s and the 90s. there's that. I apologize. I'm going to have to mix it up. This just occurred to me. This falls under the category of good.
Waka waka!
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, Watchmen. Last night when we went to go see The Dark Knight, there was a trailer, the first released trailer for the Watchmen movie. And I have to say, it looked quite good.
It looks good, but I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot to make a movie look good nowadays.
Well, and that's why I said it looks good. though they did have Rorschach. I don't know how many of you have even read Watchmen.
I've never heard of it before I started hearing about the movie.
For those of you who know nothing about the book, there are several characters. In this world, there are no typical superheroes as we understand them. There's only one character in the entire graphic novel with actual superpowers, and that's Dr. Manhattan. So the whole concept of the book and the film is of a world disenfranchised with heroes and the vigilante style of justice, and a group of those heroes who were popular at one time and are now aged. And the onset of the graphic novel, and presumably they're going to stick with this plot, in the movie, is the death of one of those heroes. And Rorschach, who is, I guess...
I think Rorschach?
Well, it's like the Rorschach, you know, like in psychology.
Yeah.
Well, tomato-tomato, I suppose.
Okay.
But anyway, he's a detective-style villain, or, sorry, hero. And he spends the graphic novel attempting to solve this murder. And it ultimately winds up with a grand plot that you really would have to read. And there's quite a lot of background to the characters and quite a lot of development. And it's unique in that... it really was not a world of heroes as we understand it, because these heroes were just as flawed and, in some cases, dark as normal people. So it's going to be an interesting movie, but the trailer looked extremely promising as far as visual and from what I heard, the acting. So I suppose that remains to be seen. But that's what's going on in the film world as we've been watching it. So some good, some bad. Interesting to see what's going to come out. I'm a little sad now because all of the big things that I was looking forward to have indeed come and gone now.
Well, it's looking up for me because I still haven't seen Iron Man or Incredible Hulk, and I might just do that before the summer's out.
He's going to sit here and listen to a review of them, but he hasn't even seen them?
Absolutely. Why not?
That's almost like me not knowing anything about Rock Band 2.
It is kind of like that, now that you mention it. But, you know, this is why we work. The exchange. That I know some things that you don't. You didn't even know about Mega Man 9 before I told you.
But
you are not a true fan, sir. I call you out.
I have a job.
I call you out. Right now. No, you know what? Let's segue. Give me some music. Come on. All right. Excellent. You, sir... Mega Man trivia quiz on the spot right now. Give me something. Come on.
Oh. In which game does Breakman appear?
Breakman. Breakman only appears in Mega Man 3.
Fantastic.
Breakman only appears in Mega Man 3. Wily was using Breakman to confuse Mega Man into thinking that his long-lost brother Proto Man was really a villain.
Mm.
Alright, crowd's on my side. Sounds good. Alright, time for yours. You ready?
Great.
Alright. Name the games that these three robot masters are from. You cannot use Wikipedia or your computer that is sitting on the desk. Beans, I know. Alright, three robot masters. Drill Man, Crystal Man, and Guts Man.
Well, Gutsman, of course, is easy. He's in 1 in 7.
Okay.
I can't tell you the other two.
You know, I just realized that our audience probably doesn't give two s**ts about this whole thing. Okay, you know what? No, turn off the music. Okay. Alright, music. Turn off! Alright.
You know, why don't we have a contest that's a little bit more on my playing field? I don't know. Comic books.
You know what? Okay, I'm up for it. Turn the music back on. No, get it back up. Come on. All right.
So this is a simple true false question.
All right.
So we have a 50-50 chance, sir.
Sounds good. Sounds good to me.
I'm going to give you a series of heroes, and I want you to tell me if they actually exist.
What you mean, like in real life?
No, as in they are published. Comic book heroes.
Okay, sure.
Absolutely. All right, we're gonna start off with a nice, easy one.
Okay.
Wolverine.
Wolverine absolutely exists in the comics. Yes.
Okay. Green Lantern.
Absolutely.
The Badger.
I wouldn't doubt it. So I'm gonna say true.
All right, but you don't know.
No, I don't.
You don't know about that one. Alrighty. Moon Knight.
Yes. Moon Knight does exist.
Ah, yes.
I believe I saw him in the Marvel Ultimate Alliance, I want to say.
He was in the movie. Yes, he was. Alright. Which...
So what am I, like, 0-4 now, I think?
You are
4-4.
You are 4-4, although you couldn't definitively tell me with the Badger. And that was really the one I was getting at, because can you tell me anything about the Badger, sir?
Probably Badger-themed. I'm going to guess...
No.
No? Really? So what definitively about the Badger makes the Badger the Badger?
Long story short, you can look up the rest on Wikipedia. He has multiple personality disorder, and one of them happens to be a superhero.
Who thinks he's a badger? What?
No, he just is a superhero who decides he's the badger.
Then what does the badger have to do with anything?
Nothing.
Oh,
he has
right.
Multiple personalities.
Okay, fair enough.
One of them's a 9-year-old girl.
Okay, fair enough. But I'm still for 4-4. I would like the record to show. All right, I guess that's the end of that. You can only go on with that so long. I don't have that much knowledge in my brain, admittedly. And there are only so many Mega Man games, so...
What is the capital of Hysteria?
The capital of what?
Hysteria.
I'm guessing the E.
Monty Python joke.
We'll see you in the next segment. Well, I suppose we've taken up enough time now with you, with our nonsense.
And it was nonsense.
It really was for a little while there.
But in recap, some stuff to look forward to. Mega Man 9, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2.
E3 was boring.
E3 was boring. Please stop DC and Mortal Kombat. It's too late, I know, but maybe someone somewhere will hear me. Rock Band 2, reinventing the wheel. Not bad, but just reinventing the wheel.
Just making another wheel, I think, really.
Yeah, and have fun at the movies.
Yeah.
Please feel free to leave us comments, questions. Please answer our poll.
we've traded it out. It's no longer about show music necessarily. This time it's well, it'll embarrass us if you go and do it. So, you know, just to let us know that there are people out there
who want us embarrassed more than we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, the question is, if Adam and Duggar, that's us, if we had to sing just one song during our next episode, which one would you choose? And we've picked some
doozies.
Yeah, let's say doozies. So please go and vote on that at our website at Tump Online. That's TUMP Online.com. And also, you can visit the show notes there and look over, see little inside jokes that I've put in there to go with the show, all the music credits that we use on the show, and also remember to check out our Dark Knight review, which will be posted in this particular episode's show notes.
If you want to contact us, please feel free to send any emails to
Uncommon Mail.
That's right. I haven't said the email address in like 3 months.
You know what? Yeah.
Uncommonman@gmail.com.
It's uncommonmail@gmail.com. That's M-A-I-L, not M-A-L-E.
Isn't that what I said?
You said Uncommon Man.
See, this is why he doesn't trust me to give you the contact information.
But anyway, so please do drop us comments there. Vote in our poll. Visit our Dark Knight review. And we will post another episode whenever we get around to it.
Which hopefully will be before forever. Hopefully before August at least. Or at least before the end of August.
All right. Okay, well, we look forward to the next episode, as we are sure that you do.
And thanks for tuning in.
Bye-bye.
And here's what I don't understand. Well, no, two things that I don't understand about the proposed game mechanics. One, Ben Parker is the only one who stays dead.
Yeah, not even Bucky anymore.
Bucky's Captain America now.
Right, I forget. Yeah.
With a gun.
Of course. Nothing says America more than guns.
This is really becoming something other than a video game.
It is.
Discussion.
Let's see.
At this point, even with Rock Band, all of that, it's been established as a gaming phenomenon. So really, the only thing they can do now is...
Phenomenon.
Well, no, I would say phenomena.
You would say phenomena?
Because...
Phenomena. Dun, dun, dun. So, I mean, Nintendo, they've done this thing, and I praised them a while back when they first came out with the idea for the Wii, and the idea of pitching the idea to people who weren't gamers, in a sense. Well, I guess that's really all we have for that, so, yeah. Here's some more music. See us. Listen later.
DC is gearing up for an Avengers movie, and
DC.
DC is gearing up for a Justice League movie. I can't believe I made that mistake.
I don't know.
Slap me again.
Ow. That was obviously not me just clapping.
Of course not. I hurt.
Anyway.